I'm wired. Am I wired?
Yes, you are.
I'm wired. Okay. Oh, what a magnificent life I lead. How many of you have ever seen a minister up here with tennis shoes and a Hawaiian shirt? You have? Excellent. Well, this is the California way, and I'm from North Hollywood, California. I'm here with my wife, Seba, and my brother, Jim, and this is his first time to a religious science function of any kind. And he's getting an eyeful, I'll tell you. Your speaker didn't show up, for those of you who might have come in late, and so we happened to be talking to a few of the people out here, and I mentioned that Seba and I teach at Asilomar every year, and we're practitioners, and I said, well, if you're jokingly, I said, well, if you can't find anyone, I'll get up and speak. And here we are. But that's it's going along with my philosophy of life, which is this world is a living improvisation. And every moment we're just going moment to moment to moment in complete acceptance of the moment, and yet being willing to be of service, being willing to experience the world as it is without judgment, and just say, okay, I'm game. Let me jump in there. And I couldn't prove it any more than what I'm doing right now. This will be a totally improvised speech. I think what I'm, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, well, you know what, they're talking about this right now. Maybe I'll talk about that. No, then they're talking about something else. Maybe I'll talk about that. And so it's like instant decision making, but I'm game, we're going to have a ball. The first thing I wanted to mention is this. I love this symbol. And was this here at your church down at... I remember this from there. And it was so great because of the small heart within the big heart, and that we are in microcosm what God is in macrocosm. And so every bit of us, every bit of our being is God. We're not all God, but we are all of God. And it flows through us. God's just seeking this expression through each and every one of us, just seeking this expression. It is divine will. I have to constantly learn every day to say to myself, okay, just relax, Jeff. I know you have your agendas. You have your control mechanisms, things you want to do. Ego says, I must produce this, I must produce that. What will they think of me? All of these little things that creep in there. But then I also realize that this vehicle that I am is being used. It is God's divine urge to express through me. And that is a humbling fact, because then you have to quiet yourself enough to say, let me listen for what it is that I'm supposed to be expressing. Instead of my own agenda, let me see what that expression is in this moment. And I found it right here, right now. This is what I'm supposed to be expressing. What we teach, Seba and I, is living improvisation, I call it. And we start with the idea that everyone is creative. If you can choose, you can create. That's what choice is all about. Every choice you make is a creation. Every thought you have is a creation. We just sang a song about that. So people say, I'm not creative. I can't improvise like those people on TV. Well, I am one of those people on TV. I'm in a million different things. You've probably all seen me and didn't even know it was me. And I've worked with all those people on those shows, Whose Line Is It Anyway, and all that. And they work off of a law of improv. And the law of improv is very similar to the law that we experience, the law that as I give, I do receive, the law of attraction, the law that the world responds to you by co-responding to your thought. It's very similar in improvisation, extremely similar. So we start, here's how we start our worship. In order to get to that place, in order to be this place where you're spontaneous and you're living in the now, in this moment, you have to give up the little chattering, nattering voice in your head. You have to give that up. And that's part of living in the now. You have to, that little thing that's constantly jabbering away at you. And that is the critic, we'll call it, in our head. It's constantly blabbing away.
So we teach the teens in our church too. So every week we make them go, we make them write down on a little piece of paper the name of their critic. They can change that from day to day. And today the critic might be named Waldo, and or Poopy Head, or whatever they decide to name. And you guys can do this right now. You can do this mentally. I'm not going to ask you to get up and do this, but just in your mind, give that critic in your head a name. It might be a parent talking to you from the past, or some old music teacher telling you you're not a good singer, or it might be any of those voices that make you feel not 100% fantastic. Anything that brings you down, makes you nervous, produces a little knot in your stomach, a little tension in your shoulders, those voices, we got to get rid of. So, give it a name. Just give it a name, give it a face, give it something. Make it real for yourself right now. And then close your eyes, and you can say, critic.
Critic.
I don't need you right now.
I don't need you right now.
I'm living in a creative world.
I'm living in a creative world.
And you are not creative.
And you are not creative.
You block my creativity.
You block my creativity.
I need to be free.
I need to be free.
I love you.
I love you.
You're part of who I am.
You're part of who I am.
But I don't need you here now.
But I don't need you here now.
I'll pick you up later if I need you. Right now I'm free.
Right now I'm free.
Okay, so now you're in a receptive mode. You've gotten rid of the critic, okay? There is nothing in your consciousness right now, I know this, other than absolute perfect receptivity, absolute connection to the perfect creative energy of the universe that is always flowing. Now what's left? If you get rid of your critic, what's left?
Creativity,
inspiration. What? We call that genius. I call that genius. Everything that happens from this moment on is genius. Everything. The fact that I walked in this church and there was nobody to speak was genius. Now, if I treated it differently, if I treated it as if it wasn't genius, if I went, oh, what kind of a loser place is this? They don't even have a minister. Oh my God, what kind of a... If I would have tightened up in any way and seen it as anything other than genius, I wouldn't have found the jewel that is there. Because, you know, guidance is everywhere. Guidance is constantly coming at you in life. It's constantly coming at you. And it's based on the choices you make. And it keeps changing its shape and form because of the choices you're making. Because of the receptivity you have. And so, in this particular instance, the guidance I got was, what a beautiful room, what beautiful people greeting me at the door. I forgot your name already, but you almost broke my hand shaking my hand. I was already in this space of total receptivity. I know this is going to be a fantastic experience. And so, what you think is what you get. As I give, I do receive. So what did I get? I got a fantastic experience. From seeing all these faces here, from meeting all these wonderful people, I got that. That's guidance coming at me saying, here's an opportunity. The minister didn't show up. You love getting up and speaking. You love opening up and giving up all control and letting whatever it is come through you. You love that, Jeff. Here's an opportunity. So this is an opportunity for me. I am learning as I'm speaking the words. I don't even know what's coming out next, but as it comes out, I'm learning too. And that's guidance. Guidance is constantly coming at us. So in order to access the guidance that is all around, we need to get ourselves in the frame of mind. And that's why we drop the critic and we say that what's left is genius. And so it opens up your eyes a little, doesn't it? I mean, to start looking at life without judgment, just as looking at it, at life as if it's your partner. You know, all these people on the improv stage that you may have seen these shows, they have partners that they're working off of, and they're jamming back and forth, and one person says one thing, the other person says another thing, and they feed each other, and they get this terrific energy because they know that that other person on stage is supporting them. Matter of fact, in improvisation, the rule is make your partner look great. The better you make your partner look, the better you are. It makes the whole scene better, okay? You're not always walking around with a partner, but here's what you do have as a partner all the time, life. This experience you are living through is your partner. And it can teach you, and it can support you, and it can feed you great lines. It can feed you great moments. It's always feeding you. And you have to understand that. You fed it, and it's responding and feeding you. And you have to just be open to reading the messages that are getting there, that you're getting from it. And it's not always the message you want. It's not always coming in the way you want it. But you know, there is a divine intelligence. There is that unifying, forming, creative intelligence that is always working. And I wouldn't have known that my highest good would have been for me to come here today and step up here and speak. I wouldn't have known that. But the infinite intelligence that is God, that is everything that we experience, knows how to present it to me in such a way. Am I open to receive it? On stage, am I open to receive this great setup line that my partner gives me? Or am I going, no, I want to take the scene this way. I'm ignoring what you say. Because sooner or later, that scene's going to fall flat on its face. Because we're not listening to each other. And so we have to learn to listen to life the same way. Just listen to life. Watch it. Listen to it. Say, okay, I don't know where this is going. But you know what? I'll give up control just long enough to know that wherever it's going, it's for my highest good. And I know it's for my highest good because that's what I believe. And if you believe, it is done unto you. So you have to start trusting that. You have to start saying, okay, I could go this way, I could go this way. I come to a fork in the road. And you know Yogi Berra's old statement, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. There's some wisdom. Yogi Berra, I'm telling you, this guy was wise. Because it doesn't matter which direction you go. It really doesn't. I can go this way, I can go this way. It doesn't matter. If I go this way, I may walk 20 paces and I'll go, oh, I don't want to go this way. And I'll just walk back and go the other way. Or I may find a little pathway that cuts over there. Or I may walk down this path and I'll go, I never knew this was here. Look at this, look at that, look at that. Oh my gosh, look at this path. I think I'll go on that path. And you keep finding these little forks in the road and you keep taking them. And they lead you to places. But you have to trust your instinct. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he says, go within. All the truth that you'll ever need to know, you already have in you. It is in your makeup. It is the God within you, talking to you from within. Can you hear it? In order to hear it, you've got to get rid of that critic. You've got to accept everything as genius. And you have to say, how do I know which is the right decision? How do I know? Is that knot in your stomach right now when you're making the decision? Are your shoulders tightening? Is your jaw clenched? That might be an indicator that there's fear around that decision. So we know that Course in Miracles tells us, you know, there is, love is letting go of fear. Love is saying the opposite of fear. And we can all be the unconditional love if we keep releasing that knot in our stomach, keep releasing the fear that is constantly creeping up on us. And by attuning ourselves, being in the moment enough to say, oh, I have this little knot in my stomach. Oh, I have this little tightening in my shoulders. Oh, I have this little clenched jaw right now. And, oh, what's love? Let me just release all of that and say, what makes me feel good? What this part of this decision makes me feel good? And let's go for that. Because that is the guidance that is presenting itself to you at every moment. I have a daughter who has taught me, I don't know how long I've talked already, but I'm probably about 20 minutes, I don't know. But I have a daughter who, she's high-functioning autistic, and she teaches me how to see the world. She is very social for an autistic kid. A lot of them aren't very social. She's very social. She's not, in our terms, she's not the brightest kid in the world. She doesn't make connections the way we do. But here's what she does do. She doesn't judge. She just lives in an innocent world.
She is in touch with her innocence. And
here's who my daughter is. She's in Special Olympics, and she plays basketball, and there's a kid on her team who has these little bumps all over his skin. Everywhere, his face, his back, his arms, everywhere. Little nodules of some kind, of, they're just everywhere. Sweetest man in the world. And everyone, they don't even see it in each other. They go, hey man, how you doing? High five. They don't care. They don't even see the guy in the corner drooling on himself. They don't even see that. They just see the energy of the person. They say, I love this person. I like this. So one day she's out with John. This guy's name is John. And there were some other kids who were making fun of him. And she came home to me and she called me Popster. She says, Popster, I don't know why were they doing that? Why were they doing that to John? That's just the way he is. Oh my God. That's just the way he is. Can we look at each other and say, that's just the way they are? I'm not going to judge them. They will find their own way. The people will find their own way. People will find their own heaven, their own hell, and it's going to be based on the decisions they make. It's a reciprocal universe. It responds by co-responding. I am not here to judge them. I am not here to condemn them. I am not here to do anything with them other than accept them. And that's the innocence of our perception. We perceive things through our senses in an absolutely innocent way. Then the mind comes in and interprets those things that we perceive through the senses and starts making judgments out of them. It starts making things right or wrong instead of they just are. They just are. My judgment has nothing to do, it doesn't change the fact that this is here and that's it. My judgment doesn't change any of it. So for me to judge someone and what they're doing and how they're moving through their life has nothing to do with anything. All it's doing is making me vulnerable, seeing my own critical life and opening me up for judgment by myself. I'm judging myself. I'm making my own life a living hell by judging myself. There's the critic. We're right back to the beginning again, aren't we? Oh, isn't it wonderful? There's the critic coming right back at you. And that's what we started by dropping. So let's try and work on that maybe. All of us. I say me too. Constantly working on eliminating the critic and looking at life as Marianne Williamson in her wonderful book, A Return to Love, talking about the Course in Miracles. She says, you know, the only difference between Jesus and us is that we have the capacity for unconditional love just like Jesus. We have everything that Jesus had just like Jesus. It's just that he had nothing else. We have little critics. We have little things to get in the way. So can we clear that out of our consciousness? Can we try and keep in that pure space, like my daughter lives in, this pure, innocent space, and say, I have nothing else. I want to accept the world on the terms that I'm getting it, and let it teach me. Let it be my partner. I think if we can do that, we can experience an incredible, incredible life as we improvise our way through life. Bing, bing, bing. Okay? Should I do a treatment? Or? Okay, so let's close our eyes. And just know that there is one perfect presence in this world that is a loving, creative God that is creativity, that is joy of expression, that is constant guidance everywhere. And this perfect energy of loving God, this joyous expression of life lives in and through each and every one of us. We are the vehicles for its expression. And as we eliminate everything that, like Michelangelo's statue, we eliminate everything that isn't that and allow this perfect expression of life to flow through us, we experience heaven right here on earth. We experience joy in all of our decisions, in all of our relationships. In everything we do, we experience the joy, the wisdom, the guidance, and a perfect connection to Spirit. And so I know that this is the truth for me. I know it is the truth for each and every one of us. I know that it is the truth for every person on this earth, and so therefore I bless everyone, every path to God. Mosques, ashrams, temples, every single path to God, knowing that everyone is reaching for the same expression of Spirit in their own way. Without judgment, I merely give thanks for this understanding, for this opportunity to express, and I release this word into the perfect law of mind action, knowing that even as I speak it, it is already changing my consciousness and shifting ever so slightly my perception of the world. And I release it now, knowing it is so. And together we can say,
and so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was fabulous. Spirit works in wonderful ways when we're open. Thank you very much, Jeff. That was lovely. Really appreciate you stepping up. There are no mistakes.
No.
All right. Before we have our offertory, Susan Schulte wants to share something with us.